This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. If you want a chance to win tickets to MSU basketball, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000 to register for your chance to win tickets to the last home game between MSU and Ohio State. 353-5000, area code 517, and you can register for your chance to win tickets to MSU Ohio State right here on AM 870 WKAR. Let's talk with Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press and talk about the just recently completed NFL Combine. Dave, how you doing, my man?
Great, Earl. How you been?
Hey, great. And I want to talk to you about first, let me ask you about how the Spartans and the Wolverines did. From those that you saw, how did they fare? I read some of the numbers today, but how did you think they looked when you saw them?
Yeah, I think Kirk Cousins is the guy that probably helped himself a little bit by throwing. You know, a lot of the top quarterbacks didn't throw out there, Earl, not just the Andrew Lux and RG3s, but kind of that next tier, Ryan Tannehill and Brock Osweiler, those guys didn't throw. So Kirk had a chance to really kind of step up and show what he could do, and I think he took that and did it. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he's not going to go in the first round, but he's a guy that in my eyes could be a day two guy that some team has to get off the board. And get on their team before, you know, maybe the teams reset their board on day three for, you know, before the fourth round. So I think he's a guy that probably helped his stock, and he's going to have another chance to do it in 2 weeks when Michigan State hosts Pro Day.
Okay. What about some of the receivers? You know, Michigan State had a couple of highly touted receivers. How did they do?
You know, I think most of those guys ran pretty good times. You know, these guys aren't high draft picks. They're also all of them, whether you're talking about Keyshawn Martin or B.J. Cunningham or you know, Junior Hemingway from Michigan. I think that 40 time is going to be something that might, you know, help them in the later rounds of the draft. If you know, in Keyshawn's case, if he ran a pretty decent time, and teams can say, you know, this is a guy that has the long speed for the NFL, that'll help his draft stock a little bit. Jarrell Worthy's another guy, Earl. He's the top prospect, obviously, out of all the in-state guys. And you know, I didn't get a chance to watch his workout by any means, but I think he's still pretty solidly in that first round. It's a good defensive tackle group, and you know, he's one of those guys that has that rare athleticism for a big man. It's just the question about him or just whether he's consistent with it.
Yeah, what about David Moak, who's a pretty highly touted from Michigan?
You know, Moak, he couldn't do anything besides bench at the combine. He's still coming off that broken foot or the tendon issue that he had in the foot. So all he did was bench 41 reps. But I went out and saw him a couple weeks ago. He said he's a couple weeks ahead of schedule on his recovery from surgery. And, you know, I think he's still probably a guy that's he's probably going to be locked into the middle rounds. He's maybe a little bit undersized for a center, and maybe only fits certain schemes according to some of these scouts. But he's a guy at the end of the day that should get a look and could have a long career because he's a smart guy, as long as he can hold up from injuries, because that's been the thing that's really held him back at Michigan.
Yeah, what about some of the guys, or actually the Detroit Lions, do you see them holding on to that number 23, or do you see them trying to move up in the first round, or even maybe trying to move down some?
Oh, way too early to tell. I mean, I think that'll play itself out over the next 2 months. But, you know, I will say, I think the Lions are going to have plenty of options at 23, and Martin Mayhew kind of, you know, insinuated that when we met with him Friday morning over breakfast. He said that, you know, when you're picking in the top, you know, 5, 6, 7, you're pretty much locked into those top five talents, you know, the guys that are at the top of your board, and they're only going to play one of a handful of positions. When you're at 23, you got to do a lot more homework because there's a lot more guys that you could be in position to draft. And, you know, that second tier, third tier, whatever kind of tier of prospects you're in at that point is a lot broader in terms of positions. So the Lions aren't going to focus in on one position. It's not like they're going to say, we need a defensive back, we need to draft a cornerback. And, you know, if the top three guys are gone, they're going to take the next guy on their board. For them, it's more about value at that spot and who the best player is at at their biggest position need, and that could be an offensive lineman, that could be a defensive back, that could even be another pass rusher, even though they're pretty strong on the defensive line.
Yeah, when you look at the draft and you look at these the guys coming into the draft this year, what do you see as the strongest position overall? Would it be cornerbacks, strong safeties, or what position would you say would be the strongest coming into the draft?
Well, Mayhew said it's a pretty deep corner class, and I think he was talking, even beyond the top couple guys, that there's some help that you can find in that, second, third round area. And I think the defensive tackle class is pretty good up top. It's not a great, great year for defensive ends, but I think you can find, if you're looking for some pass rush help on the defensive line, whether it's a guy like, Worthy that we mentioned, Dontari Poe, who had a great, combine, though I don't know that he's one of the top guys. Michael Brockers, who is, and maybe didn't have quite as good a workout. I think it's a pretty good group of defensive tackles. And then, Earl, if you're in the need for quarterbacks, there's two pretty darn good ones up top.
Yeah, and I heard some talk that Cousins pushing up maybe be the third quarterback behind those two. You think he might have moved him, helped himself that much, be the third quarterback, which would probably be in the second round or so. Do you think he helped himself that much?
No, Earl, I don't think so. I mean, at the end of the day, the combine is such a small part of what these NFL teams evaluate. They like game tape more than anything. They like some of those measurables. I think you're still looking at a guy like Ryan Tannehill who's, just knowing the way that, the NFL works and how much they value quarterbacks. You look at what happened last year with the run on quarterbacks with Christian Ponder getting pushed up and Blaine Gabbert and Jake Locker and all these guys going in the top 12 last year. I think the same could happen with Ryan Tannehill this year. He's not a top 10 guy, but, the need for quarterbacks and young quarterbacks and the potential for some of these guys to develop since it's such a quarterback league, I think you're going to see him going in the first round. Cousins, though, to me, he's right in that next group. I think he's probably, like I said, he's probably a day two guy with the way that he's acquitted himself over the last couple months at the Senior Bowl and at the Combine. When you go back and look at him on film and you get a chance to meet him and interview with him, I think there's a lot of teams that will say, this is a guy that we want on our team.
With the new agreement between players and owners, with that new agreement, do you think this maybe makes it even better for these other quarterbacks to get a shot in the league? Because they know they won't have to pay them as much. So does this give more guys a better chance to make it in the league, or at least hang around for 2 or 3 years?
I think the one thing that the new CBA is going to do, in my eyes, Earl, is it's going to make trading up at the top of the draft a little bit easier and more palatable for some of these teams. I mean, I think you're still going to be, you're still going to have to take some gambles on guys. You're still paying them a lot of money, but it's nowhere near the amount of money that we were paying under the old CBA. So when you look at a guy like a Robert Griffin III, who's going to be available with that number two pick because the St. Louis Rams, want to trade out of it. They already have their quarterback in-house. Well, rather than having to give him, Matthew Stafford money that Stafford got a couple years ago when the Lions were taking him, $40 million plus guaranteed, you're giving him half of that, basically. And I think that's NFL teams can stomach that a lot more if a guy like that turns out to be a mistake at the top of the draft. It doesn't necessarily kill your salary structure going forward with all the dead money that you'd have if you had to cut bait at some point. So I don't think it'll change a lot in terms of the number of guys that are getting looks and the way that is dispersed. But I do think at the top of the draft, those quarterbacks will be a lot easier to trade up and get if you want them.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, that would be definitely a benefit for the quarterbacks. And if teams want to trade, just move up the draft and claim one, that would certainly help them. What about when we look at the Lions and what they have to do, do you still say it's the defensive back maybe and – is maybe their prime position defensive back and maybe a safety, or do they have some other positions that are maybe just as pressing?
No, I think, back to the CBA and the lockout from last year, we're back to a normal structure now, Earl, too, so we're going to have free agency here in 2 weeks, have a little bit more of a sense of what exactly the Lions' needs are going into the draft. But, when you look at everything, the Lions want to re-sign their own guys first. They got a decision coming up here on Cliff Averill in the next few days, and if they don't get a long-term deal worked out, fully expect they'll franchise him, and he'll be a part of the team next year. Beyond him, they have three starters that'll be unrestricted free agents: Jeff Backus, Eric Wright, Stephen Tulloch, the Lions have been meeting and talking with all these guys. I think things are just kind of in the initial stages right now because they need to get Calvin Johnson's new deal worked out, extend him. They need to figure out what they're going to do with Averill first. If they can work him out to a long-term deal, that's preferable. And then they're going to have a week to kind of try to get those other guys under contract. So Tulloch is a priority, but, you know, he might test the market. You know, Eric Wright's a guy they want back. Jeff Backus is a guy that they want back. And then beyond that, Earl, I think you're right that if you just look at, you know, the possibility that they re-sign all those guys, you know, defensive back, cornerback, safety, either one of those positions to me is a primary area of need. And I think beyond that, you have some concerns, you have some questions about what exactly they're going to have at running back with the injuries they have. And on the offensive line, they're getting a little bit older, so you need to start finding some replacements for Backus and Dominic Raiola and some of those other guys.
Well, as you know, Dave, a lot of the fans would not lose any sleep if the Lions didn't re-sign Jeff Backus. They haven't liked him for a long time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know he's been catching a lot of flack for 11 straight years, but I think when you look at the way that he's played, he's actually played pretty well the last couple of years. Now, he got hurt last year, and he had some pretty significant struggles early, but when he started getting strength back and that torn chest muscle, you know, I think he played better at the end of the year. Now, he tore his biceps in the playoff game, so he's coming off, you know, two pretty major injuries in the last, you know, 8 months. And that's something that you have to be concerned about if you're the Lions. I mean, you're not going to go too long on him. He's 34. He's going to be 35 during the season. But having said that, there's no ready-made in-house replacement for Jeff Backus right now. They were hoping Jason Fox would be that guy, but, you know, he's had some injuries the last 2 years. So they still don't know exactly what they have in Jason Fox. This is going to be a pretty big offseason for him, a pretty big year for him. So I think what you're looking at is you're still looking at Jeff Backus returning for another season with the Lions.
Okay. Hey, Dave, now, when you were down there watching all these guys work out, did that get a little boring? Was it hard for you to keep your eyes awake, keep your eyes open, to watch these guys just running shorts?
Well, you know, Earl, we don't actually get to watch any of the workouts.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's kind of the way it's structured. The only thing that we're allowed to do at some point, if you want, is go into chart some of the quarterbacks, you know, throwing to the receivers and whatnot as part of the Pro Football Writers Association. So for me, most of the time is spent, you know, trying to talk to people and in the interviews with the players. So I don't actually watch much of the workouts, which is fine by me. There's plenty of other things going on down in Indy.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the other thing about, you know, you're trying to talk to all these people. How difficult is it to try to distinguish guys who are feeding you a line of bull or guys who are really being truthful?
Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing with a lot of these character guys that the Lions are going to have to figure out. You know, I wrote on, I guess, the most prominent of them, Janoris Jenkins, plenty on Sunday, and I got a little column that'll be running tomorrow just on kind of what the Lions should do. But look, he's a guy he's got a lot of baggage, and he's not the only one, but he's a guy that the Lions could be looking at 23. Great cornerback prospect. When you look at him on the field, he's very natural, runs well, you know, has everything that you want. Started at Florida as a true freshman, you know, good player, but he's got 4 kids. He's been arrested at 3 times. You know, he's played at 2 different schools. He got kicked out of Florida. So there's a lot that you have to decipher with, you know, whether he's being truthful about sincerely having changed his life around. I mean, he said he's no longer smoking marijuana. That's what 2 of his arrests were for. You know, 3rd was for a fight. And, you know, do you believe that? Do you believe it enough to spend a pick on him in the first round? That's exactly what the Lions and a bunch of other teams are going to have to decipher here. I think if his background checks out, I think I'm not quite sure that he's going to be there at the 23rd pick. If his background doesn't check out, you know, I don't think the Lions will spend the 23rd pick. So that's something that is really going to play out over these next 2 months.
Boy, that is tough trying to figure those kind of things out, isn't it, Dave? I mean, you want to get the best players you can, but, yeah, you don't need the hassle, the baggage that a lot of these guys have.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, you know, this is my point on the whole thing is that, look, you know, he's not the only guy that's going to be available at 23. He's not the only guy that can help you. And, you know, just having talked to some people across the league and you know, even Deion Sanders, who's good friends with Martin Mayhew last year, a little bit about this when the Lions were looking at Jimmy Smith, I think the first round is a place that you want to be as certain as you can about a prospect. Obviously, you want a good prospect, but there's going to be plenty of guys at whatever position that you know, to me, might be more long-term solutions than Jenkins. That when you look at him, you can say, you know what, I know this guy's going to be around for 10 years and he's going to be able to help me. And as good a player as Jenkins is, I'm not sure that you can say that. So Now, look, the Lions are going to do all their homework, like I said, and at the end of the day, I think you got to trust in what they do. But, you know, if I'm pulling the trigger, I'm going to have a little bit harder time, I think, than some people on a character risk guy in the first round.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Dave. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And, hey, I'll look forward to talking to you again. We'll get together before the draft.
All right, Earl. Sounds good. We'll do it again.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Dave Burkett talking about the NFL, the Combine, and the Lions and what they had to do or what they've got to do coming up. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Voters in Michigan and Arizona make their Republican presidential picks. The Senate plans a vote on contraception, the issue that just won't go away. And Bob Kerry ponders another Senate run in Nebraska. I'm John Donvan. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us. Plus, Sandra Singh Lowe on her piece called Daddy Issues. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Windy and rainy with a high of 52 degrees in the forecast today. For tonight, rain, freezing rain, and snow are likely with a low of 32. The high tomorrow, 41. Thursday will be cloudy, and rain is likely Friday. Our high will be back into the low 50s. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. If you want a chance to win tickets to MSU Ohio State, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517. We'll give the tickets away on Thursday. If you want a chance to win those tickets, give us a call at 353-5000, area code 517. And now we're going to chat some MSU basketball, some high school basketball with our friend Rico Beard from Fox Sports Detroit. Rico, how you doing, my man?
Hey, Earl, how are you, man?
Hey, doing good. Always a pleasure to talk to you, man. You know, it was a tough game last night. We had to watch that one, but as Tom Izzo told me when he came up to me like before they left to go to Indiana, he said that his team was awful tired, so he probably knew that could happen.
You know what, Earl, and I didn't realize till after the game that they were in the middle of that 5 games in 13 night stretch, and
yes,
they had played so well, you just kind of forgot about it, and it. But I guess they ran out of gas. And I don't think it's an excuse. I think it's more – you see it a lot in the NBA. When teams got to do a long road trip, that last game, I'm not saying you mail it in, but you're just not as sharp, except for Draymond Green. He did his thing, and I think that if anybody was thinking that maybe he didn't deserve the Big Ten Player of the Year, he ended that last night with his performance.
Yeah, I think so. I think he should win it hands down. I mean, Sullinger was one of the only other candidates. I would say Sullinger and maybe John Scherner people might be thinking about. But those, and Scherner hasn't had that good of – I mean, Sullinger hasn't had that good of a year this year.
No, I think Sullinger, kind of like the Ohio State team. That Ohio State team really reminds me of the MSU team from last year. That meaning a lot of talent but not really a team. They can beat most teams because they just have more talent than the opposing team. But when you play up against a real team or a system, they struggle. And it's very similar to last year's Michigan State team where they had better players than this team. But I think this year's team could have beaten last year's team.
Yes, the chemistry on this year's team, as we've talked about before on this program and others, the chemistry is so much better than the last year's team. And you can see the difference in it.
You definitely can. You definitely can.
Yes, and the seniors are going out. Of course, they're going to have a luncheon for the final seniors coming up on Friday. Draymond Green, Anthony Iani, Austin Thornton, and Brandon Wood will be at the Rebounders Club luncheon on Hawk Hollow on March 2nd, and that's going to be the people that can go there and can honor these seniors because this has been a good senior class, hasn't it, Rico, for this team? I mean, they can win another.
It's surprising because at the beginning of this year, I thought, man, this may be the weakest senior class they've had in a long time. I mean, no Delvon Rowe. It just seemed like Draymond Green, Austin Thornton wasn't – he was a role player, and let's face it, before this season, he wasn't a very good role player. We didn't know what Brandon Wood was going to bring, and Anthony Iani was, you know, just coming off the bench. So we saw that Austin Thornton, you know, the Thornton that we would see in practice for the last 5 years actually showed up this year. Because in practice, he was deadly, but in the games, he wasn't there. Brandon Wood, it's so-so year. He's been off and on. Some games he's red hot. Some games he can't throw a penny in the ocean. And, you know, it's always good to see Iani in the game because that means the Spartans are winning.
Yep.
Every game. So, okay. Yeah, this is a good senior class, you know, of course, led by Draymond Green. I really kind of hope that they're able to do something for Delvon Rowe on senior night, too. I know he can't play in the game, but I really hope they do something, even if it's during the timeout, just to bring him out to center court, just to say goodbye to all the fans.
Yeah, let's see. I know it. Coach Izzo was still talking about the NC2A trying to get that straightened out, hopefully, you know, because he is making money now in movies. So, of course, that really hampers him being involved in that whole organization of the whole senior process of the graduating seniors. So, yeah, like you, I hope they can bring him out. I hope they can do it. But, you know, when you deal with the NC2A, who knows what's going to happen?
Right. You know, if you put cream cheese on a bagel, that's a recruiting violation.
Yep.
That seriously is a recruiting violation, by the way.
Okay. Well, we got a caller for you. We got Michael from Saginaw. Michael, how you doing?
How you doing there, Earl? And Rico, I'm not going to ask you about state, but I'm going to ask you about Minnesota. I'd like to hear what you got to say about Tubby Smith and the highly recruited white that played for Iowa State now, and also the Rodney Williams. What is their ceiling? How high is their ceiling?
You know what? Minnesota is one of those teams that, I mean, it sounds cliche, but you don't want to play because on any given night they can pull it all together. Now, Tubby Smith is bringing in talent to Minnesota. The problem is retaining the talent. He brought in Royce White, which – you know, was a top player, but he had character issues that came out. He had to leave. Then he transferred to Iowa State. You see he's doing well there. Tubby's bringing in players, but he just either they turn out to get in trouble at school or they just end up getting hurt. He has not had the best of luck. But that being said, Tubby Smith will be one of the main guys out on the trail recruiting and bringing in top players. So Minnesota is about a player or two away from being in the upper tier of the Big Ten, what I believe.
That's what I was thinking, because they got a player named Rodney Williams. He's 6'8". He's so athletic and everything. I said, this guy, he's really going to be a good player once he gets some experience and gains some weight, too. I think that Minnesota, for a state that only got one Division I program, I just always wonder why could they be good every year. Here's what I got to ask you about on Wisconsin, too. Bo Ryan, it seems like his players, he plays a system and everything, but at the right time, it seemed like he got toughness and everything. I know it's like Izzo's rival. And I just want to know why it's like Wisconsin don't recruit no top 10 McDonald's All-American, but it's like they have a team every year. I like to hear you comment on that.
Hold on. That's the biggest misconception. Wisconsin does get McDonald's All-Americans. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin has had about 4 or 5 in the last 5 years, but it's always, they just developed. But, yeah, the guys that are playing right now from Jordan – back, I mean, they've had top players. Devin Harris, they've had McDonald's All-Americans, but they also get system guys to come in there too, and that's almost like become an urban legend. But if you really take a look at it, Bo Ryan brings in top players. He may sit them on the bench or redshirt them for a year and you forget about them, but he brings in top players, and he does run that system. And I think this year Wisconsin's biggest problem is a lack of depth. You need Jordan Taylor to do everything for you, to bail you out. Like last night, he bailed the team out when they looked like they were about to lose to Minnesota. It's all on him. If he has a bad night, chances are Wisconsin's not going to win, and that's why they've lost so many games in the Big Ten this year.
But here's one more question, and I'll let you get to other callers. If you was Illinois and Bruce Weber, would you take back that statement that the reason why they're not ready to play because it's all on him? Or you think that Bruce Weber just being honest now? Because if you was running from scared from your job and say things like that, I'd just take that off the air and let you comment on it.
Okay. Well, if I was Bruce Weber, I don't think I would take it back. I think, one, he was trying to deflect a lot of the blame from his players, and two,
yes,
I think he was being honest. And unfortunately, in this world, when you're honest, we don't know how to react to that because we're so used to people passing the buck. But I think he was honest. It was coaching, because bottom line, every coach is responsible for his players. But I also think that he kind of did it to draw some of the attention off of his players and on to him.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be able to draw enough out because he is sweating up there in Illinois. He might be gone. We've talked about that before, but this could be Weber's last year, so we don't know if he can weather the storm.
Yeah, I think unless they go on a miracle run like Iowa did and Penn State did last year, Iowa did a few years ago, I think this is it for Bruce Weber.
Yeah, because he only had really the one good year with our boys out there in Kansas players, Bill Self's players, and he really hasn't done that much since he's been in Illinois.
Yeah, he's brought in players, but they just can't consistently win. And they've all had problems, you know, with the team, whether it was attitude problems or chemistry problems. I mean, the benching of Dimitri McKamey last year, and you thought maybe it was just one disgruntled player, but now he's gone and he's benched some players this year, and now you have to start wondering, maybe it's not the players, maybe it is your coaching style, and maybe, you know, you haven't recruited the way you should, because let's be honest, you got Chicago in your backyard. You should never have a bad team if you're Illinois. You should be able to bring at least two Chicago players every year.
Yeah, you should be. Hopefully, I know a thing about the high schools down there. A lot of the high schools, they have a kind of an organization, and they almost are lockstep in making sure that if Illinois wants to get players, you know what they'll have to do that, Rico. They'll have to pay a little bit to get those players out to Illinois. That's how it goes down there.
Okay, just so Earl said that, not me, so I don't want the emails and the tweets saying I said that they were dirty in Chicago.
Well, you just have to pay a little bit if you want them. That's what you have to do. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes these days. A lot of these, as you know, a lot of AAU coaches aren't just up on the up and up helping kids. They're trying to help themselves.
Yeah, there's sometimes a bag left with a few dollar bills laying around, just in case you want to pick it up and send somebody my way. Unfortunately, Earl, you're right. That does happen. That does happen.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about how's the high school basketball in Detroit this year. I know it's been going down. You don't have as many teams, really good teams in Detroit like you used to.
No, there's no good team and there's no player. There's no great team. There are a lot of good teams. And this year, it's kind of like the NCAA tournament. The tournament is going to be a lot on seeding and who has to play who and when they have to play them. Because you have a handful of good teams. I think the best would probably be Pershing. You got Detroit King, runs a small lineup, but they're deadly because they shoot a lot of threes. You got Romulus who, you know, they play just a fast-paced, up-tempo game. So you got a bunch of teams down in the area, and it just kind of depends on who has to play who and what night they have to play them. So anybody that can make a serious threat for the title, I don't know. Maybe Pershing. I mean, you know, we all saw, you know, when Pershing came up to Lansing and, you know, knocked off Sexton by a point. So that had the whole feel of a championship game. So it all depends. I think Pershing, maybe, you know, Country Days, they can make a run. Crockett is pretty good. So there are a few teams down here, depending on where they're seated and who they have to play and who gets upset could make it. But no great team. I mean, Mr. Basketball won't be coming out of the city of Detroit this season. Chances are it'd be Matt Costello from around the Bay City area or Denzel Valentine out of Lansing.
Yes. What about when you look at those teams like that? I know I asked you about a team, Detroit Consortium. How do you see them? Because they came up here and played, a couple of weeks ago, played Waverly, and that's a pretty good team as well.
It is. It is a very good team. It's like I said, they're good. They're not great. But on any given night, they can play great, but they're a good team. They're beatable, but they're not that dominant team. But, yeah, I could easily see Detroit Consortium coming through in Class C. They probably will be one of the favorites to win Class C. I think Beecher will probably be the number one team to beat in Class C. But depending on what happens, you could possibly see them at least playing in the semifinals or the finals in the Breslin.
Rico, when you look at the high schools, and we've seen because of the cities like Flint and Detroit and somewhere some areas in Lansing, they lose so much population. It seems like that should make a lot of the teams that were A and B teams, now a lot of them playing C and D. That probably makes those fields stronger, shouldn't it?
It does, because it disperses the talent where everybody used to just be up in the top in Class A. Yeah, now all of a sudden, Class A was the game that everybody wanted to see that final. Now, heck, you may see a Consortium Beecher playing in Class C. That's still must-see basketball. So the fact that some of the schools are getting smaller due to the contraction of the state, I think it helps because it spreads the talent out. It evenly spreads it out that now, you know, you care about who plays in Class C and Class D.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the Spartans. What do you expect to see from the Spartans on Sunday when Ohio State comes in here?
I expect to see a rested team. I expect to see a focused team. I think that they all know what's on the line. Depending on what happens with Ohio State, I think tonight and Michigan tomorrow, you win that game, you're the champion. You don't have to share with anybody. I think that they will have the same focus that we saw with the football team, because they were in a very similar situation where they had to win that final game, though they had only played Northwestern and this team has to play Ohio State. But they were focused and to a man said, there is no way in the world we want to share this title with the University of Michigan. And I'm sure the Hoop team doesn't want to share it with Michigan or Ohio State. They want to go out there. I'm sure they're going to hear from all the former champions from the Cleves and the Petersons and the Richardsons and the Hudsons. I'm sure they'll all call and tell them how important this is. I think they're going to want to send Draymond Green off with a victory. I see a focused team. The key is I think you need to it's Thomas and Buford. You don't want those two getting hot. Deshaun Thomas gets hot, it's a long day. Sullinger's going to get his, so you let that go. You stop Deshaun Thomas, you stop William Buford, and you can beat Ohio State.
Okay. Got a caller for you from Canada, Jody up in Canada. Jody, how you doing?
How you guys doing? I have a couple questions. One, was our weaknesses exposed last night? Because, you know, you back off Appling, make him drive, make him play defense so he doesn't get out on the break and kind of take the ball to the glass. You know, you just kind of minimize his offense. Other guys weren't hitting shots except for Thornton and, of course, Day-Day. You know, as you look at it, is that really, you know, are we a defensive team and our offense is lacking? Because what I see in most games, and it's been the mark for our ball, is we'll go 4 or 5 minutes without scoring. We'll have about 8 possessions where we won't score, and against other teams, if we're able to play defense, we stay in the game. If we're against some teams that are still scoring, then we have some problems.
Well, I think that the scoring drought something I've seen since Tom Izzo has been there. Even the good teams will have the scoring droughts. But as far as it getting exposed, I would say yes and no. Appling is struggling, and I think teams know that, and I think teams are saying and daring him to come out of his slump. We are going to pack it down in the lane. We're going to double cover Green. We're going to double cover Knicks and Payne. We're going to force you to beat us from the outside. Yep. And Appling is almost afraid to shoot the ball anymore. He's got it plenty of times. He squares up and then he passes it away, meaning he's thinking about it. Appling's a shooter. When he's in rhythm,
he's dangerous. But right now, because he's not shooting, you're right. The call is correct. They are just daring him. They're backing off of him, saying, we know that you're not going to shoot this ball. We'll pack it in the middle. But also last night, Tom Crean used all his experience. Let's face it, Tom Izzo has tweaked some of his sets, but he's run the same play since he's been there. Mm-hmm. Crean knows the play. And Indiana, I haven't seen a team defend Michigan State that well, like they knew the plays since 2001 in the Final Four against Arizona, where they just had, it was like they got the playbook overnighted to them. They were hedging the screens. They were jumping the passes. I mean, it was – Crean really did a good job in coming up with a game plan. And I don't want to take anything away from what he did. But, yes, part of the weakness was exposed. Appling is struggling, and teams are daring him to beat him.
What I think, too, is I just want to throw this in there, is that the other thing is Austin Thornton, when he's open, he has to hit that jumper. He shot 3-for-4 or 4-for-5. I think he needs to get a few more shots, because he's the guy that's hitting the shot, and maybe with Appling not hitting that extra skip pass to Thornton, where he kind of looks like he wants to shoot, and, you know, he may not take that shot, he needs to go ahead and just get about 10, 12 shots a game.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that he didn't shoot more, because he was the only one outside of Green that was hitting the shot, but for some reason, he wasn't. Now, I guess maybe it was just as simple as, hey, let's make sure that we guard him, because early – in a lot of games, Thornton is always left wide open, because I think teams don't think he could actually hit it. Once he does, they put a man on him, and they kind of shut him down. I don't know if he had trouble getting off his own shot, but I was a little surprised that after he started off so hot that he just kind of disappeared and didn't take any more shots. And, you know, with Appling and Wood last night, you know, building a brick house, it was a little shocking.
Yeah, somebody else has to step up. You know, because don't get me wrong, I'm impressed with the season. I'm happy with the season, but I look at winning national championships. You know what I mean? That's just, I know nobody does, but I was always taught you go for the moon or you go for whatever.
And in order for them to go, and I think to make a serious Final Four run, you need Draymond to keep playing the way he does. You need to somehow or another get at least 12 to 16 points from the Knicks' Payne center position, and Keith Appling has to step up. And in the tournament, Big Ten and in the NCAA tournament, Appling needs to go back to averaging about 12 to 16 points a game. You do that, I think all the other points that you get from Brandon Wood and from Dawson and those guys, I think will add up. But you need the points to come from three positions: the center position, Appling, and Green, in order for them to go really far.
That's true.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much. Hey,
thank you, Jody.
All right.
Hey, Rico, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and hey, we'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday, my man.
Earl, just make sure you sign my autograph. I'm gonna bring a picture of you. I just want you to autograph it.
Well, I don't know why you should bring one of yourself. I'll autograph that one.
I bet you're in the Hall of Fame. I'm not.
Okay, Rico. Hey, we'll talk to you later.
Okay,
bye-bye. And that's Rico Beard from Fox Sports Detroit right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870.
After U.S. soldiers accidentally burned several Qurans in Afghanistan, violent demonstrations broke out, two American officers were shot and killed, and everyone's on edge. But the Pentagon reiterates the U.S. military is fully committed to its mission there. I'm John Donvan. What's been lost in Afghanistan? Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Pohl with a look at the weather forecast. Windy today and rainy with a high of 52 degrees. For tonight, look for rain, freezing rain, and snow, the low in the low 30s. It'll be cloudy with a high of 41 degrees tomorrow, and then back into the low 50s for a high on Friday. Rain is likely.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.com. MSUBasketball.org. If you want a chance to win tickets to MSU basketball, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517 for your chance to win tickets to MSU basketball. Once again, 353-5000, area code 517. And now we're going to be open line for these last 15 minutes or so. And we're going to had a little chat recently with the coach at LCC, Mike Ingram. And Mike had won his division, and he'll be playing for the state championship coming up soon. So here's what Mike Ingram had to say about playing my community college for the state championship.
We play Mott for the state championship here next week at 3:00. And we're looking forward to it. I think it'd be saying it mildly to say that they embarrassed us, twice, but we weren't the team that we are now. And even when they beat us, I told the guys that team is not that much better than us. They're a super team, and they got super tradition, and some of these guys are just now starting to realize that we're a super team too, and we've got great tradition too, shown by what we've done in the conference this year, and coming into 2012 at 4-10, and then going 14-1.
Now, how is this team different from the one I seen when you were in that 4-10 state? When I was watching it today, they look like they're a lot different from the beginning.
Well, they were young. They didn't understand some of the concepts that I was throwing at them. To be honest, I didn't recognize a couple of things also. And the one thing I didn't recognize was that these guys are a super scoring team. And I realized that over the winter break, and I changed a lot of things that we were doing to tailor around their skills, and it's worked, and we did that for our first 7 or 8 games, where we didn't play any defense or anything because we just shot. And then once we lost the game, all the stuff that we worked on in the first half of the season, we're able to do now. We're able to run time off the clock. We're able to execute once we run time off the clock. And another thing I tell the guys, when they come in, they play hard, we're very good. If we don't play hard, we're just like every other team.
Mike, what can you tell the fans and the public? Because a lot of times the public doesn't understand how much it takes from a team to grow over the season. And, the team you were at the beginning of the season isn't the team you are now. What can you tell the fans? What can you tell to help them to recognize, things that are going on during the season?
Well, the one thing is it was really tough on the guys. I would see them at games and stuff, and they wouldn't have their sweatshirts on, or they wouldn't have no LCC gear on. And I just told them, I said, "Hey, guys, these same people will cheer for you." And I said, "People want to know where you're playing." I said, "Hey, we're going to turn it around. I've been there before, and most of our fans that come with us, you, a couple other people, you guys were very encouraging to me. When we were struggling, hey, Mike, you always turn it around." I'd run into people that follow us, and they say, "Mike," I say, "I was struggling with 4-10. They say, "Yeah, but you always find a way to turn it around." And we found a way, And then, like I said, that was very encouraging to me that the fans that we have know that, we're a championship caliber program. And so, and that's what we told the guys. Hey, we play for championships here. And then here's the last thing I told them. I think I told you this before. I said, "Hey, I'd rather be 1-0 in the conference instead of 10-4 and 0-1. You know what I mean? I thought, we want to win the conference. I said, because even if we'd have been 14, we won nothing for that. You know what I mean? And so they bought into that, and we just started playing well. And this was great strides for these guys because their friends, their family, our fans haven't seen them play like they played tonight. They fought me a little bit. They didn't want to be coached. They didn't want to play hard. But tonight, I see a lot of their friends and family are here, and they came out there and gave it their best shot today.
And that's another team. LCC's made great improvements over the years, have gotten much better. Similar to Michigan State, which started out slowly and with a few losses, but gotten better over the year. Both teams have gotten better over the year, and both teams, Michigan State will probably be playing for a championship. When they beat Ohio State on Sunday, they'll be the outright Big Ten champions, and we enter the Big Ten tournament with that respect. And, of course, LCC is playing for the the championship of the state of Michigan when they played Mott on Saturday. The time now, 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, I had a chance to talk to one other coach last night. Just briefly, talked with Steve Fenimore. Is there the East Lansing Trojans beat the Lansing Catholic Cougars 70-46 last night. So here's what Steve Fenimore had to say about shutting down Steve Rebakowski, the fine score at Lansing Catholic Central with their defense.
He denied him the ball, and if he did catch it, we pressured him and we got help from the weak side. Defense is all about team. It's not one guy stopping one guy. It's impossible. You need an overall team performance on defense.
And East Lansing played a great team defensive game. They held Lansing Catholic to 6 points in the second and the third quarter. Well, Jacob, you're with me. Now, I know you watched that Michigan State game last night. What was your take on the Michigan State Spartans in that game last night?
Well, you can't win them all. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, they were on a great streak. No one else stepped up and scored. It's just at the end of the day what it came down to. It was all Draymond Green. Indiana played very good defense. I mean, there are times when you play this game that you're going to hit a team and you're going to hit them when they just play a darn near perfect game. And that's really what Indiana did. Indiana played a great game on defense and offense. And it's just going to happen. You know, I don't think that it's, there were weaknesses exposed, if you will, but I don't think it's the kind of situation where you got to freak out. Michigan State's still a good team, still a team that's poised to make a run in March in the NCAA tournament and certainly in the Big Ten tournament. So they just got to find that other score they can go to outside of Draymond Green. Keith Appling is struggling, and when your point guard's struggling, that kind of trickles its way down to the rest of the team. So, it was a tough loss, but it's not the end of the world.
Yes, I was thinking when Rico was talking with our guest about Austin Thornton. And Austin is a guy who can become maybe a consistent third scorer. He doesn't shoot enough, as they say. He does, he shoots early in the game if he's not too closely guarded. But he's a guy who can shoot better. But like they said, you have to wonder, can he get a shot off when there are people right up on him? Can he just rise up and shoot over someone? Or if he has that kind of confidence where he can shoot like that?
Yeah, you kind of don't know who you're getting with Austin Thornton when he goes out on the floor. Sometimes he'll miss everything, and sometimes he'll just shoot. There's like no in-between with him. It's just he's making everything or he's missing everything. And can he shoot with a hand in his face? There's a lot of talent on that team, a lot of guys there that could be that consistent third scorer or a consistent scorer. They're just, in some nights you see some people and some nights you don't. And it's just, they'll have games where they'll find a person. But if they have a kind of a perfect storm game where, or if a team comes in and thinks defensively, we're not even going to try to stop Draymond Green because, we know he's going to, it's really hard to stop him. We can focus a lot on the other four guys, focus a lot on disrupting those passing lanes and having hands in the face every time. Michigan State, we've always said, is going to be a team that is, if they get the right matchup, can make a run. If they don't get the right matchup in the NCAA tournament or Big Ten tournament, they can struggle, and I don't think that's changed at all.
Yes, I think if Michigan State, gets the right matchup, they could make a run, but they're also a team that could also lose in the first round, as well as a team that can go to the Final Four. They have that kind of talent, but the talent is so balanced this year, I wouldn't be surprised if they were taken out in the first round or if they made it all the way to the Final Four.
Yeah, and I think that with any team, I think any team out there, save for the one seeds, because the 16's never beat a one, but is liable to lose in the first. It's not unheard of to have a three seed lose in the first round. I'm pretty sure almost every year there's a four seed that falls in the first round, and more often than not there's a three seed. Two seeds, they fall every once in a while, but usually it's pretty consistent they get to the second round. This is and this has been the state of the NCAA tournament for the last couple of years, where we have a lot of these double digit seeds that pull these upsets, and it's just the mid majors are really playing with more intensity. They're playing with a lot more talent. There's a lot more talent in the mid-majors than there were. Certainly, Michigan State, if they get the wrong matchup, could fall in the first round, or they could get to the Final Four. And that, I think, stands true for nearly any team in the field.
I tell you, Jacob, one thing that bothers or concerns me somewhat about Michigan State is sometimes they just don't score enough. I mean, you know, they score in the 50s, the 60s sometimes. You don't see this as a team that gets up into the 70s and the 80s unless they're really playing a team that's pretty bad.
I think that might be a problem with actually every Big Ten team, and we've seen that, I think, in tournaments past, where if the Big Ten really plays a team that can run, they can struggle. The Big Ten, outside of a few teams, hasn't made a whole lot of noise in the tourney in the last few years. And I think, you know, they do. The Big Ten plays a slower game. There are teams that can get out and score and that can run a little more. But, yeah, that's kind of a problem with the Big Ten. If a Big Ten team doesn't force their opponent, a non-conference opponent, that is, to play their pace, they can really be susceptible to losing. And I think that's going to be true for anybody.
Well, it's going to be a tough one. I'm still hoping. I don't know yet. Everybody's sort of like my buddy Tim Stout is knocking Northwestern. I'm still hoping that Northwestern
well,
gets in.
Joe Lunardi on his last four in had Northwestern this morning, so there is still hope. I think if Northwestern wants to get in, they probably have to win. They probably have to win at least a game in the Big Ten tournament and probably win out their season. So, you know, I'm still holding out too. But it's they're right on the precipice there. They are the quintessential bubble team right now.
Yes, they are. Well, the Rebounders Club will honor the Spartan seniors, Draymond Green, Anthony Yanni, Austin Thornton, and Brandon Wood at their final luncheon on Friday, March 2nd at Hawk Hollow Golf Club. The luncheon features the seniors and coach Tom Izzo. That will begin at 11:45. Doors open at 10:45. The cost for the luncheon is $14. For members, it's $20. So that's the luncheon honoring players at the Spartan seniors coming up on Friday. Hey, give us a call. Talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. You know, we just have to spread the word around. One other event coming up for those of you who are, I know I don't have a lot of fans out there, but there are some fans who likes boxing. Emmanuel Stewart is bringing back big time boxing back to Detroit. The first time since the Golden Kronk era, Emmanuel Stewart of Kronk Gym is promoting a night of professional boxing on Saturday, March 10th. At the Suburban Collection Showcase in Novi. Kronk Night, Fight Night will feature a full slate of bouts from Stewart's latest roster or soon-to-be champions just in time for St. Patrick's Day. The headliner of the main event will be Kronk's Irish star, Andy Lee. Lee has fought on national television six times. His record is 27-1. In his last bout, he defeated the only fighter. He's the only fighter to defeat him, and his victory was shown on HBO. The new crop of professional fighters include Tony Harris, Leandre White, Jacob Banas, and Ernie Garza of Saginaw, Michigan, and Wade Toller Jr. of Monroe, Michigan. So the general admission tickets are $20, preferred seating $35. So if you want to go to the fight, you can. That's going to be in Novi, Michigan, coming up on March 10th here. So if you want to find more about that event, you can give them a call or find out more about it. That's in the Suburban Collection Showplace, 46100 Grand River East Avenue between Novi and Beck Roads. And we're just about out of time here in Sports Talk 870. We want to thank you for listening and thank you for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, we really need you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. We come your way each and every day, bringing you a few new people, a few different people to call up and talk sports with and to share your thoughts on sports. Well, I just read something this afternoon before I came in the studio here. Is Floyd Mayweather says there probably won't be a fight with Manny Pacquiao because he's not going to settle for a 50-50 split. So if he's not willing to go for a 50-50 split, he says Bob Arum wants the majority of the money and wants to make it. And of course, Mayweather wants to keep the majority of the money, so it'll be interesting to see. But it looks like there's even a slimmer chance that we'll ever see a Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. Well, of course, you know, it can be worked out. Maybe they'll work out the money some kind of way, but that's the only thing we can hope for, that they can work it out. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. Invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. So we want you to come back and join us tomorrow right here. So have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. And I'll hear from you tomorrow on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing at Michigan State University. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. We'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.